You know what? I'm gonna take this off. Because, if anybody feel like it need to be worn, you're welcome to put it on. Join hands with your neighbors. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and bless you for this day. Thank you, Father, for this time around the Word of God. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Father, that's present because we're present. Thank you for your presence, Father, that's present here because we're present here, Father. Now, Father, we thank you as we get into the Word of God, Father. We thank you and we bless you that anybody under the sound of our voice that is dealing with an attack of sickness and disease, we thank you. While the Word is going forth, Father, they'll be healed, Father. Father, we lay hold and believe for miracles. We believe for healings. We believe for outstanding manifestations of the Holy Ghost. We thank you that the gifts of the Spirit are being operation, Father, especially special faith and working of miracles and gifts of healing. Father, we thank you and we bless you. Every time we come together for church, you come together with us. And you don't just show up, Lord, but you manifest yourself amongst us. And Father, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Good evening. Praise the Lord. How you doing? I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad y'all totally fulfilled. Now, we are going to start a series tonight on healing. I feel like, watch. How many of y'all would say that when Jesus was here on earth, he emphasized healing?
Amen.
How many of y'all would say that?
Yes.
All right. No, see, wait a minute. See, what? Let me show you. Remember what we said now. When people ask you a question, what should you do?
Yes.
All right, how many of y'all know when Jesus was here on earth, he emphasized healing?
Amen.
All right, then let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Let's start there. Hebrews chapter 13. Man, it is hot in here, isn't it? It's all right? Okay, all right, all right. No, y'all hot? Y'all hot? No. All right. This lady said no. All right. Well, we'll just leave it like it is. All right. We'll have to get some of them funeral home fans, I guess, you know. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, now watch this. Jesus Christ, the what?
Same.
How often? All right. Basically, wouldn't that mean whatever Jesus was, he is now, and he will always be that? Right? Because if he's the same, that means whatever he was, he still is. Well, that means now, if while he was here on earth, he emphasized healing, and healing was a big part of his ministry then, it means it's still a big part of his ministry now. Let me say that again. If healing ever was a big part of Jesus' ministry, it still has to be a big part of his ministry now, because he doesn't change. And whatever he emphasized as the head, the body should emphasize. Right? And that's the only thing that's happened. It's not, people say, well, you know, God don't heal no more. No, it's not that God doesn't heal anymore. The head still heals. It's the body that has dropped the ball, so to speak. And we need to pick the ball back up. But now, if you, you know, you don't have to be deep to figure this out. If Jesus ever healed, he still does. Because if he didn't, he would have changed, right? Now, here's what we're going to do. When you look in the Bible, and I know you have, amen, there's about 19 cases of individual healings in the ministry of Jesus. By that I mean where we know who the person was, we know what was wrong with them, and we know what Jesus did to heal them and how they received their healing. Now, there could be, depending on how you count, there's a couple more because he did raise people from the dead. And I guess dead, that's you could say that's healing. We're not going to look at those per se, but there's about 19 individual cases where Jesus was with an individual. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 8, Matthew 8, are you there? Let's look at verse 16. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him how many?
Many.
All right, many. Many that were what? All right, so they brought a whole bunch of people to Jesus that were possessed with devils. All right, and he, Jesus, cast out the spirits with his word and healed how many?
All.
Healed how many?
All.
Lord.
All right, now, see, you see this in the Bible a lot, where they bring multitudes, sometimes great multitudes to him. The Bible says he healed them all. But we're not told what was wrong with the individuals. It's just whoever showed up got healed. Whoever showed up got healed. Yes. Now watch this. Keep smiling. They're bound to have been at least one scoundrel. See, think about this. Because this, the devil works on people this way. He'll tell you, well, you know, you ain't really worthy to be healed. You haven't done all you need to do spiritually to be healed. Now think about it. Here's Jesus, and multitudes are coming. They're bound to have been at least one person in that group that was not walking holy. I mean, if we gather the multitude today, mm-hmm. everybody in the multitude ain't going to be living right. That's right? Amen. Right? Amen. Somebody sinned that day. Amen. See, it's a multitude. Somebody could have robbed somebody's house, just walked out, saw the multitude blending in with the crowd. But Jesus out there healing, he said, you know what? I hurt my elbow climbing out that window. And got healed. Because notice what it says. Everybody got healed. Everybody got healed. Now Jesus Christ is the same. And forever. All right. So if everybody could get healed then, that means everybody can get healed now. And you ain't got to be perfect to get healed.
Amen. Praise God.
All right. Come on, tell your neighbor. Because I know you perfect. But so tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor,
you don't have to be perfect.
To be healed. Tell the one on the other side, you don't have to be perfect.
You don't have to be perfect.
To be healed.
All
right. Now, you got your Bibles, right?
Yes, sir.
Open them up. Let's open them up to three spots. Matthew chapter 8, Luke chapter 5, and then swing back by Mark chapter 1. All right. And one of the reasons why it looks like there was more individual healings in the ministry of Jesus is because generally, in the synoptic gospels, you'll find that they carry the same stories. All right. Now, the book of John is called sometimes by writers the different gospel because you'll find some different stuff that's only recorded in John. But generally, what you find in Matthew is in Mark and it's in Luke. And we're going to look tonight at our first healing because we need to establish something with this. And by doing so, you know, you'll get a hold of the will of God. I mean, if you don't come back no more, you can get fixed just on this. All right. You got those three openings. All right. Good. Now, take your forefinger and let's go to the book of John. Yeah, I did that on purpose. John chapter 14. We're going to start reading at verse 1. All right, y'all ready for a revelation, all right? All right, let's settle something right here from the start. All right, it starts out, it's in red, right?
Yeah.
Which means what?
Jesus.
All right, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. So whose responsibility is it for you to have peace?
Me.
All right, it's on you. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many condos. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It don't say condos. It don't say apartments. It don't say townhouses. It says what?
Mansions.
Just evidently Jesus was a money preacher also. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, that's important because it lets us know, as we say from time to time, there's not a lot of ways to get to God. That's foolishness. There's only one.
That's right.
Jesus did not say, I'm one of the ways, one of the truth, one of the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. So see, anybody that's come any other way has not gotten to God. Are you following?
Yeah.
So see, and it's not to pick at anybody's religion, but if I was a Muslim and a devout Muslim, I don't know God. Oh, Lord, don't look at me like that. See, look down in your Bible. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot get to God except through him. So if you don't come by him, you don't know God. Now, it doesn't matter if, see, because if you clean up the outside and you get me off drugs, that's good, but I'm still going to hell. I'm just going to be cleaner on my way. See, now, and I point that out, just say, that's why Christianity is so important. Because the difference between us and everybody else is the God we serve is actually living. And everybody else, whoever they're serving, is either never was or is long dead and still dead. That's why our ministry, and when I say our ministry, I don't mean the church. I mean your individual ministry of sharing Jesus is so important. Your individual ministry of living before people, Jesus, is important. If you have not done so already, the sin and the weights in your life need to get out. Because you got a responsibility. Everybody that runs into you ought to run into Jesus.
Amen.
Anyway, where were we?
14:6.
Exactly. I knew I was all the time. Just checking on y'all. All right. Verse 7. He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it suffices. Okay, he said, all right. Well, where's God? Show me God and I'm cool. And Jesus said unto him, verse 9, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. All right, now what? Jesus basically says here, I am an exact or perfect representation of my Father. If God was in the earth, he'd have done all the same things that Jesus did. That's basically what he's saying. Now, the book of Hebrews, let me get the scripture up. Hebrews, did I write this down, Lord? Somebody turn to Hebrews 4:15 and tell me if that doesn't say he was tempted in all points like as we are yet without sin. Ain't that Hebrews 4:15? Y'all don't know either. Okay. Somebody turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse 15. It's not, some of y'all going, no, yeah. That's it. Okay, all right, let me see. Let me read. All right, in case y'all got funny Bibles. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. All right, so now watch. Jesus and every action that he took was then the perfect will of God. And he never missed it. In other words, everything he did was in perfect line with what God wanted done. Right? Because, see, now, if that wasn't so, then that would be sin. If he would have missed it or didn't do what God wanted him to do, we'd have to say that would be sin. And he never sinned. So his every action, watch this now, his every word was the will of God. That means now, Jesus and what he did and what he said is a revelation for our lives, every man, all men, for all time. That means then, now watch, we can boldly say that sickness is the will of God if we can find where Jesus made one person sick. Now watch, if we can't find that anywhere, we have to then settle that sickness is not the will of God. Because everything that Jesus did, everything that he said, is a revelation for all men for all time. Now watch, ain't nobody here with us. Let's do away, since we killed one thing, let's step on another roach. People will say this. Well, see, God's trying to teach me something through this sickness and this disease. He's trying to work something out in me. Okay, all right, now that's fine. That's fine, that's fine. But now watch, for that to be a scriptural position, we need this one thing to back it up, some scriptures. And without scriptures, it is not scriptural. Amen.
Thank you.
And you can't find anywhere in the New Testament where Jesus told an individual, you're going to have to keep that leprosy because God's trying to work something out in you. That is stuff that we made up here because we needed to explain why something didn't work. And so we made up our own doctrine. Everybody embraced it, but you can't find it in the Bible. Well, you know, well, see, not right now. You know, I'm not going to hear you right now. Not now. After a while, I'm going to hear you. Well, okay, cool. Cool. You want the after a while? Had after a while. But in order for a thing to be scriptural, for us to say it's doctrine, we need this one thing to back it up. We need some scriptures. And you can't find anywhere in the New Testament. See, listen, not only can you not find it, you can't even find nothing close to it.
Amen.
You can't even find nothing that you could really twist and make it sound like that God would say, no, not right now. See, I'm really working out. I'm working out something in you. So I want you to keep that cancer a little while longer. Because you ain't got, you ain't just right. That's foolishness. We made that stuff up. Now, you know, you got a New Testament there. If you think I'm lying, find it. And, you know, the Bible says, you know, in order for a thing to be proven, it has to be proven in the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's just a mess we came up with to explain why something didn't work. Because we didn't want to say, we didn't know what we were doing. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
All right. See, here's where we're going. Not only here, talking about healing, but period. If the Bible says it, then we can do it and have it. If the Bible does not say it, we ain't got no business messing with it at all. All right? Amen. I don't care what's wrong with you, what's wrong with your mom and them, what's wrong with your cousin. God will heal all of y'all.
Yes.
Amen. I hear people say, well, Pastor, now wait a minute, see. That time I had cancer, it really drew me closer to God. Well, most of the time when we're in trouble, it draws closer to God.
Yes.
Amen? But here's the truth. You could have got closer to God without cancer. And God didn't put the cancer on you so you'd get close to him. You can't do death like that. All right, watch. Let me watch. Would you train your kids to stay away from wild animals by throwing them into a pit of tigers and lions? Now, here's why you can't do that. Because, see, you can't get the tigers and the lions to cooperate. So your child might learn that wild animals will hurt him, but he never going to get to apply it past this one particular day because the tigers and the lions is going to eat him alive. So he's going to be dying. I understand, Mama, you're right. Wild animals will kill you. But he's never going to get to tell his children because they're going to kill him. See, you can't control the tigers and the lions. See, death is death.
Right.
See, God can't be life, as the Bible describes him, good, as the Bible describes him, and got some cancer somewhere. Because I don't care who you are. I don't care what your beliefs are. Ain't nobody ever said cancer's good all the time. And all the time, cancer's good. Nobody describes cancer as good. Nobody describes sickness and disease as good. But people do describe God as good. And he's not just good as we think of it. He's ultimate good. It don't get no gooder than that. And you see, for you to believe that, for you to say that, for you to even embrace that, for you to repeat that, is saying you're better than God, because you wouldn't do that to your own children.
Amen. Say that.
Come on, tell your neighbor, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
Tell them, God heals everybody.
God heals everybody.
Including me. So now watch. Everything that Jesus said and did is the direct revelation of the will of God for all people for all time. All right? Now, let's get in the Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. The first healing we're going to look at is the healing of the leper. It's found in these three places. That's why I got you holding these three places. And like I said, we're going to get hold of something here. It says, verse 1, are you there? It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. How many believe it happened just like that? How many believe this is not a fairy tale, this is not a parable, but it actually happened just like that? All right, good. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 12. Now, Luke was a what? What was his profession? He was a doctor. Now, notice how he records this. Luke 5 and 12 says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Now, see, notice, all Matthew said was he had leprosy. But Luke, being a doctor, said, this boy about gone. He was full of leprosy. Who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, how soon?
Immediately.
The leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Now notice again, see, we get a little bit. We get something that we didn't get in Matthew. This boy was full of leprosy. All right? He was full. He's doing bad. You follow me? This ain't a cold now. He's got leprosy. And we'll talk about it in a minute. Let's go, what's the other place? Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we'll start reading at verse 40. Are you there? It says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. Now we see something else here that we didn't see the other two. Mark says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, let's talk for a minute about leprosy, because leprosy isn't something that you run into that much here in the United States. There are still leprosy cases in the world, but thank God you don't run into a lot of leprosy in the United States. Make note of these scripture references. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 lays out for us the diagnosis of leprosy, what to do. And it's interesting reading if you want to read it. You might want to get a Message Bible, though. King James is kind of boring, but it goes through all these different ways that they could detect leprosy. But the disease itself was characterized by nodules or knots that came up on the skin, causing a loss of sensation and deformity. It could include severe types of psoriasis, boils. It was infectious. All right, you could catch it. There were sores with it, scabs and spots beneath the skin. And it'd be so powerful that you could lose sensitivity in your limb. A leper could break his arm and not know it and just travel around with it for weeks because it wouldn't be any pain there. Because they start losing sensitivity and stuff start dropping off of you. For instance, you know, if people get diabetes real bad and don't take care of themselves, their toes and their, you know, they can start losing their small limbs. Well, see, leprosy was like that. Other than, but you could lose fingers, hand. You could lose, people be without their nose. Stuff just drop off of you. Now, because it was infectious, these people, especially in the Old Testament, once they were found to have the disease, could no longer live within the camp. They had to go outside of the camp. And anytime they came around people, they had to say unclean, unclean, so people would know they're coming and clear out of the way, because nobody wanted to get leprosy. Thank God that it ain't here no more, at least not, amen, where we are, amen? Because, you know, whew. See, now watch, if you got leprosy then, see, you lost social status. You couldn't stay with your family anymore. You couldn't interact with people. See, your business, your whole life would be interrupted because you got to go somewhere all by yourself. Now, if you happen to wander in to the populace without warning people and you were caught, you could be killed. Everybody with me? So see, this is pretty serious. This is not a cold this guy has, all right? Now, let's go back. We in Mark, right? Let's just do it. We'll stay right here. All right, let's see some stuff out of this. Look at verse 40. It says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him. Now, I want you to underline this, kneeling down to him. All right, the first thing you want to see now is, notice, this man had humility. All right, he had humility. All right, do you think it matters how you approach God? Yes. How many of y'all think it matters that you can't approach God just any old kind of way? All right. He shows now humility because he comes and he kneels down. All right. You don't, Jesus, look here, man. Can you come around the corner? You ever try to pray for somebody and act like they were shame? It happens for me all the time. You know. He said, Pastor, can you pray for me? Well, see, now here's why I try to pray for folk when they ask me right then. Right. Because when I go home, I'm not going to think about your individual request. I might not think about it at all. So since we're here, let's do it right now. And they get all stiff. Look, when you go in a restaurant, bless your food. I don't pray silent. I don't pray silent. I just go and pray. This is my food. I got to eat this. Amen. Everybody bow your heads. So that's what we do. You bow your head. We're going to pray. Father, they can't hardly hear. Father, thank you for this. Now, what do you think? Here you are. You have more honor for the people around you than you have for Almighty God. I'm ashamed for these folk to know I'm praying over my food. If you ever look back there in the kitchen, you better stretch your hands out and get real serious. Most High God, purify and cleanse this food. It matters now when you need something from God, how you approach God. This man comes and he kneels, which shows humility. Now, think of Naaman. All right, y'all read the Old Testament, right? Remember Naaman? He travels, from Syria, I think it is. He comes over, because he had leprosy, I think. All right, he comes over, and he wants the man of God to come out and do something spectacular, because he's big time in Syria. All right, the prophet don't even come out the house. He sends out his messenger. He says, tell him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan, and he'll come up home. He didn't even come out and see him. Well, when Naaman hears this, his pride rises up. Now watch, we got to come back and talk this. Because he was expecting to get his healing a certain way. So, he, you know, I mean, they back their chariots out. They peel, man, hoof marks and, Chad Will Marks, they rolling, because he is, well, he is Roth. That's old English for warm. He is hot. Well, one of his servants says, look, player, look here. If they had asked you to do something big, you was prepared to do it. So why not, since we here, let's just go and do it. And so Naaman says, all right, cool. So he goes, dips, comes up that last time, totally whole. He almost missed his healing because he had pride. Now, in our time, what we have is people that are looking to receive stuff a certain way. We don't really care what the oil is on. We want it like we want it. And I'm amazed when I go to Gloria Copeland's Healing School, different places, that what folk want is that hand. Put your hand on top of my head. She'll preach 1.5 hours. Then she, after that, she'll say, if you feel anything different, come up. Be about 7, 8, 10 folk come up. She said, okay, I'm going to lay hands. The whole auditorium comes down. Because folk are trained, here's how I'm going to get it. Now, here's what you got to recognize. We got to search out and locate what the oil is on. See, if the oil is on dipping in the river, we all need to head for the river. And see, hands won't do you no good that day if God say head for the river. See, you have to locate what is the anointing on. That's what I mean by oil. What's the oil on? Because see, God's not always moving the way we expect. And don't get me wrong, there's a certain percentage of those people that get healed. But what if the oil was just on the preacher? Remember the last time she came here, she didn't lay hands. She just broke camp out of the preacher. And folk were disappointed. Folk was mad. Because they used to their forehead being stuck out, falling on the ground, and half the time, well, I won't say that. A lot of the time, thank you, Elder Rock, ain't nothing happened to them. They just trained to fall out. And fall out pretty, too. Boom, just fall out. Now watch. It's the summertime. I don't even care. If it hurts your feelings just hurt. All right? Watch this now. A lot of times, she's totally anointed. But the receiver is not in a position to get anything. If you enter the line in hope, you might well go back and sit down anyway. If you're in the line, let's just see if anything, well, I want to fall down. And you wasting your time too, see. If you're not up there going, woo, soon she lay hands on me, I'm healed. It's all over. When she lay hands on me, I won't be sick no more. If you're not up there in faith, you might as well go back and sit down. And see, what happens is a certain percentage of people get healed. But a lot of people go back, hope now, you know, the Bible says when hope's deferred, it makes the heart sick. Now their heart's getting sicker and sicker because I tried all this stuff and nothing worked because they don't understand you need to be in position to receive. And a lot of times what you think the oil is on, it might not be on. If God tells me to give TK $700 and he's going to break my poverty, and I decide, well, since L. John's really an anointed preacher, I'm going to give it to him. Well, L. John's going to be blessed. But I ain't, because this was what the oil was on. Praise God. Wow. And I'd be like, bro, praise God. And then he'll obey God when God tell him to give it to whoever he's supposed to give it to. Everybody get blessed but you. You got to have the Holy Ghost. You got to do what God tells you to do.
Hallelujah.
It's just that simple. Now, please, don't get me wrong. If we have a healing line, you can get in it. I'm not saying that you can't get in the healing line. What I'm simply saying is you can't lock God into a certain method, and this is the only way a thing can happen. That's all I'm saying. And so if God tells you to do a certain thing, here's what you need to do. Like when Elijah told Naaman, go dip, that was his oil. Now, he could have stopped at every prophet's house on the way home and got hands laid on him and still died. Why? That wasn't what he was told to do. And we've got to widen our horizon so that God can bless us, get him out the just, it got to be hands box. Don't have to be hands. I mean, you can get healed, watch, just worshiping God. Nobody got to do anything to you. Don't you appreciate when folk tell you thank you?
Yes.
Man, this ain't deep at all. This ain't deep. You can actually write this down. This ain't going to be deep at all. If you, because we can do things by faith, just, Father, I just want to thank you.
Yes.
Whoo, so glad I'm healed. And train yourself how to get glad and happy like you would be if it happened, though it hasn't happened yet. Whoo, so glad I'm well. First of all, it'll confound the devil. Ain't they sick? Don't they know they dying? And you be sitting around, I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Father, I just want to thank you. With long life, you satisfy me. And just worship God because you're healed and you're well. You can get healed by yourself. You can get healed just confessing scriptures. Just planting your name in there.
Yes.
Just the cheap, easy way. I don't feel like working hard. It's already, the scripture's already written out. I'm just my Bible, I'm going to write my name in here. Himself took Dwayne Brunton's infirmity.
Yes.
See, this is a cheap, easy way. And just every day, just make that confession. And before long, you'll start to recover. Because all healing means is recovery anyway. There is immediate. But even in the ministry of Jesus, some people took time to recover. If you just stick with it, it'll work. And just stand through the test. See, because the devil going to come. Well, if you was healed, why is your leg still hurt? If you was healed, why you still losing weight? Why the doctor still saying your white count is low? Why? Look, ain't none of that got nothing to do with nothing, devil. I'm healed anyway.
Amen.
Are you following?
Amen.
Now watch, let me get back to what I'm talking about. I said I'm going to stick on, I got to stay on, because I can't stretch this out 4 or 5 different things. I want to do one of these a week, because it's 19 of them.
All
right. So that's the whole summer right there.
Yeah.
Healing in faith. And now watch. It's not only are you going to get healed physically. There's going to be other things in your life going to turn around. Because you're going to see some principles on how to work some stuff. All right. Now watch this. Verse 40. It says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling unto him, and saying unto him, now watch this, because this sounds so spiritual. If you will, you can make me clean. Ooh, I'm sorry. That was verse 40. Mark 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou will, you can make me clean. Now watch. That is a certain level of faith. Most Christians, including by all of us, will acknowledge the fact that God is able. How many of y'all know God's able? He ain't just able, he able. You can take the L out if you want to. He's able. Whatever's going on with you, he's able. If you're broke, he's able. If your marriage tore up, he's able. If you're broke down, he's able. If you tore up, he's able. So he's able. Everybody acknowledges at least that. Well, most Christians. All right? And that is a level of faith. Because the man wouldn't. See, this man is risking his life. He don't have no cold. He's got leprosy. He can be killed just for being outside. So he's risking his life. So there is a certain level of faith that you have to have. He had to believe Jesus could do something.
Glory to God.
Right? Because if you didn't think he could, you ain't gonna risk your life. You might write and say, can you send me that healing oil y'all sell? But you ain't gonna go out there knowing you could be killed by being out there. So he has a level of faith. But now here's what you need to see, because a lot of folk are stuck here. This level of faith that he is on right now can't receive anything. Because all he's acknowledging is that God can do something. But can do and will do for you is two totally different things.
All right.
And what will happen to you is when you're going through trying to believe God, the devil will come and say, well, see, now, wait a minute. Is it the will of God for you? And see, the saints will go, I know God can heal me. Pastor, I know he can. I know God can heal me. I know God can heal me. You can die knowing that. That won't do anything. I ain't gonna give you a natural example. If you said, Pastor Bruce tall, isn't that true? I'm tall, taller than all y'all. I'm tall. Isn't that true?
Yes.
All right. Now, will believing that make you taller?
No.
Why? So there's no power that's released just because you acknowledge that somebody can do something. I know God can bless me. I know God can fix my finances. That's why you still broke. Because all you acknowledge is his ability. That is a level of faith, but it won't receive anything. It's what we call mental assent. I will assent to the fact that God is able, but you've got to go past God being able and know that he's able for you. And he's able for you if nobody else gets it. If all y'all be broke, I shall not. And you got to know, if everybody die, I'll just have my pick of TVs right here. Because I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Because God's not just able for me, I receive it. Now, that's two totally separate things. And you got to go past just knowing God can to knowing God will for you. And that's across the board, y'all. I know God can bless me. You'll be broke believing that. You got to know that God will bless you.
Hallelujah.
I know God can fix my marriage. Your husband will be long gone with another woman. You need to know that God will fix your marriage for you. He will do it for you. And you need to know you got a right to it. That it ain't got nothing to do with your conduct. All right, I ain't got time. Pray the Lord. All right, come on, tell your neighbor, you got to acknowledge that God will
for you.
All right, now watch. So here's what this man says. He says, now he comes to Jesus, he bends down, he kneels, and he says, Lord, if you will, if you want to, if you could make me whole. But it just depends on whether or not you want to. All right, Jesus moved with compassion. All right? Moved with compassion. From the inside, he wanted to do something. All right? He was moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, not right now. After a while. What did he say?
I will.
What did he say?
I will.
What did he say?
I will.
Can't hear you. What did he say?
I will.
Okay, he said, I will. Now, what are we looking at here? What are we looking at? We are looking at the revealed will of God for all men for all time. It simply means if God will heal him, then God will heal you.
Hallelujah.
Let's say it another way. God wants to heal you. Because that's basically what he asked. He said, Lord, you can do it if you want to. He said, I want to.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Glory to
God. Hallelujah.
I want to. Now, that ain't what they said. Sometimes God will, sometimes God won't. See, you don't know the mind of God. You can't know what that there ain't no scripture for that. And for a thing to be scriptural, what do you gotta have?
Scripture.
All right. So see, he says, I will. Now, whatever's wrong with you, you need to receive the fact that God will heal you. God wants you well. Pastor, you don't know that I got this. This was the terror of the day. The worst thing you could have. And God said, I will. Now get, listen, in every area of your life, get out of this. I know God can. That is a certain level of faith, but you can't receive there. Because all you're doing is acknowledging his ability. And you die acknowledging his ability. You've got to go past that and recognize, for me, it is the will of God that I be healed. Therefore, I thank God that I am healed right now. Right now, I'm whole. Right now, I'm well. With long life, he's satisfying me, showing me his salvation. Get past. I know God can bless me. You're going to be broke like that. You got to start saying, whoo, thank God I'm blessed. With your broke self, you got to start walking. I'm so blessed I can't hardly stand it. I'm rolling. I'm a baller. I'm a shot caller. I'm rolling here. I got it all, everything. I got much, much, much more than enough. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want for nothing. And you ain't got nothing but wants. Pocket full of wants. Ain't even got no money in your pocket. Holes all in your pocket. Shit. Don't matter. See, I'm receiving what I know God wants to do. Didn't Jesus die on the cross? Wouldn't it be foolish for somebody to say, you know, could walk up to the cross, and there he would be, and go, now, Lord, I know if you want to, you could save me. If you want to. What in the world you think I'm hanging up here for? You think I died for my sins? No, I died for your sins. I don't need this. You the one needed this. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't want to save you. Well, here's all I'm saying. This is all I'm saying. We're in right here because we ain't got but a minute left. If God didn't want you well, since Jesus is his perfect representation, you have to find in the scripture somewhere where Jesus either put sickness on folk or told them they had to keep it. If you can't find that, you don't have a scriptural position for saying God don't heal anymore. Because Jesus is the perfect representation of the will of God for all men for all time. Amen. If he wanted that leper well, he wants you well. And I got to quit. I'm out of town. Come on, hop up on your feet. Amen. Come on, join hands with your neighbors. Healing shows us the nature of God. The problem is never in the sending end. It's always on the receiving end. Don't let yourself fall into this trap. I used to fall into this trap. When something didn't happen, I'd get mad and ask God what's wrong with him. No, what's, I don't know. So you need to get to work. What's wrong? Come on, you ain't sick. How come? As though he's holding back on us. There ain't no problem on the sending end. The problem's on the receiving end. So when stuff don't work right, there's no need to even ask God if he's paying attention. Is he tripping? What's up? When is it going to happen? Whatever ain't happened, the problem's on our end. Amen? Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, we do thank you and bless you for the word, Father. We thank you and we bless you, Father, that everybody under the sound of our voice is healed. From the very top of their head, Lord, all the way down to the soles of their feet. Thank you. Every cell is operating in the perfection, Father, you created to operate in. Thank you, Father. We thank you for restoration, for the anointing to restore, to work in our bodies, Father, for the healing anointing to work in our bodies and establish change and establish cure on the inside of us, Father. Father, thank you for not just restoring us to where we were before attacks came, but restoring us to better. We thank you, Father, we are perfectly healed. Thank you for perfectly normal blood sugar, perfectly normal blood pressure, perfectly normal kidney function and brain function and prostate function. Perfectly normal, Father, reproduction function, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We believe the word. Therefore, Father, we receive that it is your will that we be healed. That when you heal the leper, you begin to establish that it is the perfect will of God for all men to be healed. Therefore, we receive it and decree ourselves healed from the top of our head all the way down to the soles of our feet, all the way out to the tip of our toes. Thank you, Father, for wanting us well and for making a way for us to be well. And we lay hold now on the fact that we are well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do me a favor, hug 2-3 folk, tell them they're healed and well from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And you are dismissed.